Great science work, everyone.
It's a relief to leave this place, but let's just go. I'm afraid for what could happen next.
Don't worry, Lisa. We are done here.
You're wrong. This is the beginning of a chain of misfortunes to come.
I will close the gate.
I have accomplished the specific task of closing the gate.
So, Santos and the Treasure of Dracula.
Yeah.
Santos with two S's, right?
What does that mean? No, I think it's just Santo singular, isn't it? El Santo.
El Santo?
Yeah.
And what does that mean in...
The Santo.
The Santo. Does it mean health? Is it like...
I don't know.
So, okay. The randomizer has blessed us again with a season 13.
Yeah.
I feel like I did see this at some point, but I remembered almost nothing about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they reference El Santo films a lot in Mystery Science Theater. In the very early seasons, they used to put it into jokes, and it's surprising they didn't watch, because I think this is the only one they ever watched, and he made like a ton of films.
No, there's another one. There's like another Santo season one? Santo. Yeah.
Hmm. I don't remember.
I can't remember the name of it, but I feel like there's one other.
Yeah.
Because I know I've seen that guy before.
The silver mask is iconic.
Yeah, I definitely feel like there was like an early Joel. I feel like there was like a Christmas one. I don't know. I'm going to have to look it up after the podcast. But
it is a very counterintuitive thing to do, to act in a movie while wearing a complete face mask that covers everything, including like most of your mouth. Hard to get much of a range of emotion out of something like that.
Well, I mentioned this a number of times when we were watching it, but I really couldn't shake the feeling that it was basically the Mexican Adam West Batman.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, it is. You're right. I wasn't there at first, but then all the colorful costumes, the sort of crazy, kooky characters, the villains that felt like they were kind of rogues gallery style. Although I guess it was more so the bad guy in this movie, we thought most of the time was like a recurring enemy of El Santo. And then it turned out, I think it was supposed to be like a Scooby-Doo style like thing where it was a character from the beginning of the movie, but neither of us could remember who it was.
I feel like that must be somebody that they've used before, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But there's also the fact that, you know, Batman had the mask, so he had the same problem, right? Adam West had to try to.
Yeah.
And the acting was really wooden.
Yeah.
There was the same thing in this movie as it has been in a couple of the other ones, where there were scenes where that felt like they should be very impactful, but the actors didn't seem to care about them at all. Mm-hmm. And Jonah and the bots even brought it up in the final skit. They were like, okay, because they were talking about the comic relief guy and how he was the only one that would emote at all, which is true.
Right. Yeah. Well, Santo famously, does not, he has kind of one tone in all his films. He's just sort of the strong, confident, capable, you know, like there's no emotion in him at all. And then you had this guy playing Dracula, who was just like such a dime store community theater Dracula, and just really wasn't doing much except just trying to look scary and like with really wide eyes. So he wasn't much to speak of. And then all the women were just sort of helpless and hapless.
Did Adam West ever fight Dracula? I don't think so, right? They didn't really use the Frankenstein, Dracula, mummy type
stuff. No, there's like an animated Batman movie that has Dracula in it, but I don't think they ever did it in... the closest they ever came to is like the King Tut villain. Remember the fat guy from ancient Egypt or something? Right. Except he's not from ancient Egypt.
They
he's
knock just him like on
a,
the head.
He's just a jerk.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it resembled... Definitely resembled 60s Batman. It felt like one of my comments during when we were watching is like some of the actors to me felt like they were taking it really seriously, and then others felt like they knew it was 60s Batman and were just going for the ham, you know?
Yeah.
It was strangely disjointed in tone.
Well, it also had to be movie length, which Batman did do that once, but in general, the shows were much shorter.
So it's interesting that the way they got to a movie was almost like they just took like a lot of different elements here and just kind of threw them in a blender. Like you've got time travel.
Yeah.
You have Dracula and vampires.
Right.
You have El Santo and his inept sidekick, and at the end, a team of other wrestlers that comes to his aid.
Don't forget the subplot about how he's supposedly doing science really badly.
Right. Yeah. Experiments. You have a wrestling match, of course, because every one of these movies has to have wrestling.
Yeah, that part was super interesting to me. You mentioned that at the beginning because I guess you knew that that was coming. But that's one of the ways that I really felt it was like Batman, because there were obviously all these tropes and things.
Yeah.
Cultural touch points that we didn't really understand. In that sense, it kind of had a little bit in common with that Finnish folktale that we watched.
Oh, yeah.
Which I found out, by the way, I did a little research afterwards, that the spinning house is a thing. Like the Baba Yaga always has, that's the Baba Yaga, and she always has a spinning house.
Yeah.
In every movie or in every story.
It's almost kind of more fun to watch movies like this and not know that these traditions are part of it and just be like sort of baffled because you're not seeing it coming.
Yeah.
I knew the wrestling match was coming, but like, I didn't know we were going to get, you know, all the other things, the Austin Powers time machine and the, you know, the, all the Dracula stuff. Like the way it kind of played out was very, it was entertaining because I didn't see any of it coming. I think if I had known the format better, it might've been less interesting, I guess.
The interesting thing about these kinds of movies is I do feel like they provide good riffing, maybe even above average riffing. Like,
yeah.
I think this was really fun and I laughed a lot and I enjoyed it, but I feel like the real heights of Mystery Science Theater are not reachable by these kinds of movies. And I feel like that's because they actually make too much sense. Like, I feel like the storytelling craft here is not bad. I mean, it's extremely formulaic. It reminds me of Saturday morning cartoons, but for all that being said, every scene did kind of follow the one before it. There weren't a lot of continuity errors.
Yeah. Well, I think this was considered like I know we were sort of laughing at the sort of plastic cave sets and the kind of cardboard coffins and stuff. But I mean, actually, I think this was a pretty high production value for like a Mexican film.
Totally. And I suspect the people that worked on it were very good at their craft.
Yeah. I think this was considered sort of cream of the crop, and probably it's probably also worth mentioning that this movie, because of Santo and how popular he was probably very popular and well-viewed. Like probably a lot of people in Mexico saw this again and again and again.
I mean, just like the Batman thing. I mean, that got really famous back in the
same
day.
Thing.
They had Liberace and they had some really famous people.
Totally. That show. I'm sure all those wrestlers that came in at the end were probably very famous, just like Santo. They probably like are all part of the same, like, you know, Lucha Wrestling Company.
Right.
It's no coincidence that they just shoehorned a bunch of them into the end, you know.
Right.
They were trying to sort of get the name recognition in there.
Yeah.
I don't know who any of them were, but.
So this is the second one we've seen with Jonah, and I am impressed with Jonah and his team. I know you really like the skits. I wrote down a few riffs that really amused me. There was the one where they walk in the room and open the coffin and Jonah's like, let's see what's in coffin number one. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
And there was this one part where they cut way too long on the lady, the dying woman back in the past. And I think Tom Servo was like, lady, dying lady.
Yeah. 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 Those are good.
I feel like they were on it.
Yeah.
You like the skits. You laughed really hard.
The riffing and the skits were really strong. I mean, the smack-a-light of love is precious. I'm a sucker because I love wrestling, so I'm a sucker for a wrestling sketch. But I liked the idea of them being nice to each other.
Right.
And like, I can't emphasize enough, whoever is playing Tom Servo, the sort of modern dude that took over the mantle of that, is doing a really good Macho Man impression.
Right.
Like, really spot on.
Right.
So just a lot of points for how well put together that was. And I like Jonah's yearbook too, the thing where he like pretends he's a cool guy and they find his yearbook and then it turns out it's not his.
Yeah.
Really good sketches. Max is really funny in this one. Like he always is. He's a highlight.
Yeah. They're selling him all the junk.
The only thing I don't like about the Mystery Science Theater parts of it is, and this is just like a personal criticism, probably a lot of people really like this, but they obviously made a very intentional choice to trim the budget back for seasons 12 and 13. And they use these kind of paper cutout sets, like where basically they're in a room and the room is pretty boring. It's just like a studio room. And then they have the backdrop is sort of a two-dimensional rendering of the satellite of love, you know?
Are you talking about for Jonah or for King and Max?
Both of them. Yeah. Like there's just a lot of, there's a lot of shortcuts, which I think they did because they ran out, because they had lower budget, but I also think they thought it would appeal to Mystery Science Theater viewers because, you know, people who watch Mystery Science Theater like sort of schlocky, cheesy paper sets and think, and it's sort of an homage to itself, right? And so right. I understand why they do it, but I do kind of miss the production value of specifically, I'd say, the Mike era, and then also the first season with Jonah. They really kind of lovingly crafted like real physical sets that you could interact with.
Right.
And I do sort of miss that in these later episodes. I'm like, it's looking a little KTMA again. And it's sort of like doesn't appeal to me as much, but that's just a personal opinion. I can see why, you know, other people wouldn't give a crap.
Yeah. I guess if I were going to quibble, the thing that I noticed that felt a little out of place was the justification for and simultaneously the sort of marketing of the whole Gizmoplex idea. Like, I wish they had just done that.
Yeah. And well, they were trying to sell the website
right.
by putting it in the story.
Right. That doesn't work for me.
Yeah. But it doesn't. It dates itself is the problem. Like, I mean, most people have already forgotten about that Gizmoplex website stuff.
Yeah. And it would have been a little bit like if the Mike era episodes had started talking about the fact that they were on the sci-fi channel.
Yeah.
Like, well, I guess we better put some science fiction around because now we're on the sci-fi channel. It just doesn't seem necessary to me.
They did do a thing in season 7 before the sci-fi channel when they were getting canceled by Comedy Central where they started directly referencing like Comedy Central and the executives, like,
really?
Yeah, because remember, like, in that season arc, Dr. Forrester's trying to improve their ratings. He's like, you guys are boring, we need better ratings.
I do remember that, but I don't remember them ever saying the words Comedy Central.
They don't directly say Comedy Central, but it's very clear that they're pissed off that they're getting canceled and they are going to town on the people that are canceling them.
I don't remember that. Maybe I just was naive and I wasn't paying attention.
Well, it was a very, you know, it was a short season. They only did like, what, 7 episodes or something that season?
I think 6.
So it's only those, it's only in those, you know, because that's when they knew that I think they thought they were never going to make the show again. That was like when they were writing the skits where they were pissed off at the executives, they had not gotten the new contract yet.
Yeah.
So it's a little like that, minus the sarcasm. But yeah, I think the Gizmoplex is a cool idea, and you're right. I think it could have just been a neat story point rather than like a tie into the real world. Some, I think in the Netflix ones too, don't they like talk about Netflix?
Maybe.
Isn't Max like, oh no, the Netflix execs or something. Yeah. It's a little too like, that. Yeah.
It's a little,
the fourth wall breaking.
Yeah. It's not what I would prefer.
It's odd too, because they, you know, with like the paper cardboard sets that I've, you know, that I was referencing, the feel of it is like we're winking and we're cheeky and we, you know, like our theme song says, you know, you should really just relax, right?
Right.
But then they take a lot of elements of the story kind of really intensely and seriously. Like they build out this, they do a lot of world building in the later seasons.
I really feel like that all comes back to Joel.
Yeah.
Like in real life.
Probably.
Not the character of Joel, but like.
Probably.
I think it, I can imagine them sitting around in the story meetings and Joel's the one who's like, but guys.
Yeah. Okay. So there's going to be a clone of Pearl.
Right.
And then the clone's going to clone her clone and it's going to be a mega clone. And they're all just kind of rolling their eyes and going, can't we just watch bad movies?
Yeah. I mean, I do like the frame story and I'm not in the Riff Tracks camp where I'm just like, it's three guys sitting there watching a movie. But I do think that it just goes too far sometimes. It's not necessary.
Yeah, it's like he just doesn't know how to find that sweet. He doesn't know how to find that sweet spot of like, I'm not taking this seriously, but I'm giving it a little story.
Yeah.
I think that's hard for Joel.
Yeah.
I think it's easier for a lot of the other people that have worked on Mystery Science Theater.
Right. Like Trace and Frank Conniff.
Joel, on some level, I think, has always had a private desire to like make a real science fiction show. And this is the closest he ever kind of came. So he just will throw in a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
I guess it's mostly harmless. The thing that it's never touched is the movie. And that's why Mystery Science Theater works no matter where, what area you're talking about. Like, it's all kind of good because it's always dude sitting in a theater riffing on a movie.
Yeah, that's true.
So as long as he doesn't fuck with that too much, it kind of is like, you know, you can say like, oh, the skits were bad in this, but the skits are like 8 minutes out of, you know, almost an hour and a half.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean, they're never like bad, bad. And today they were really good.
Today they were really good. Yeah.
I mean, that thing. So for those who don't know, Jason here is a huge WWE and wrestling fan. He could probably have a whole podcast about just wrestling.
Yep.
In fact, I think you listen to a podcast about wrestling.
I do. Yeah.
That guy, Simon or whatever his
name is. Simon Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how, any commentary on the wrestling moves in this?
The wrestling was great. I mean, Santo was a great wrestler. And, I think Lucha Libre specifically is really fun to watch because they move really fast and they do a lot of high flying and they're usually a little lighter. Like they're usually a little shorter and leaner than the average. Like the WWE dudes are, you know, steroided out and they're like 7 feet tall.
Well, not all of them, but yeah, it's for sure.
Certainly the ones in the '80s were, so I like watching Lucha Libre because they're sort of very flexible dudes and they can wrestle really fast. And that's what you saw in the movie is it was like the actual match, which was about maybe 2/3 of the way in. And I think the story framing was whoever wins the match gets both of the like magical artifacts, the MacGuffins.
Right.
Which then of course the guy, the man in black betrays him afterwards. But of course, El Santo wins the match and it's very short because it's very fast and kind of nonstop action. So, I mean, I thought that was really fun. I knew it would be though. It's like Lucha Libre. Lucha Libre is really fun to watch. And I knew there would be a wrestling match because you can't have a Santo film without it.
There's a great line in it that I wrote down that I think Jonah says where he goes, and this actually might've been when you stepped out of the room, but he says, "You got your Ed Wood movie in my Spirit Halloween store." And that's really funny, but it also highlights something that I noticed during the movie, which is that it really does feel like it's almost two separate movies.
Yeah.
Like the direction and the pacing.
Right. Well, that was kind of, remember when we were like because right after the wrestling, or I think shortly after, they went to some Dracula stuff. And I was just kind of thinking to myself, like, as that sort of B movie, you know, community theater actor playing Dracula's like slinking around the girl's room and there's a lot of staring and dramatic music, and I'm like, this is very differently paced from the Santo stuff.
Right. I had this vision of him going over and standing by the craft table during the breaks and like nobody wanted to talk to him.
Yeah.
There's just a bunch of wrestlers on one side of the room.
My one disappointment for the film itself is that Santo doesn't actually wrestle Dracula. I kind of thought we were going to get a Santo v Dracula fight.
It does seem like that should happen.
And instead I think they hired a guy who wasn't a fighter. They probably found the best actor they could to just act Dracula out. Because he's like not awful, but he's not great either. And it was either that choice or they could have gotten a wrestler to play Dracula.
Is there any chance that that guy is known for playing Dracula in other Mexican movies or something?
Well, I really hope not. I hope that Mexico has a better Dracula than that Dracula. not that he was the worst, but I mean like...
Yeah.
He was basically just doing Bela Lugosi, but he was doing it not nearly as well because he just wasn't as dynamic and Bela Lugosi had just an amazing kind of face for it. And this guy was just like a schlocky middle-aged dude, right?
So, yeah, right.
But he was directly parroting the Bela Lugosi performance of Dracula. Like the guy was just, somebody either told him like, just do that, or he guessed that that would be a good idea.
Or he just watched a lot of Dracula movies.
Maybe, yeah. But I mean, there was no creative liberties taken. The guy just straight up did Lugosi.
One of the things that they did really well in the old Adam West Batman is no matter what was going on or who they brought on, it always felt like a Batman episode. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like this. So if they had Dracula, you know, or something, it would have been a goofy...
It would have been wacky Dracula.
It would have been wacky Dracula.
Yeah.
They never let the guest set the tone.
Yeah, rarely. I think maybe with like occasional exceptions, but yeah, it usually kept its very kind of comical tone.
Okay, well, so I guess we should get around to the rating business.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of what ratings I gave to things. So I gave the first one was a 7, I think. And then I gave that crappy movie a 4. And then last time I went back to like 6.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I've gone as high as like an 8, I think, maybe, or
I don't remember.
I think so.
You might have given a 9 to that Jack Frost, I think.
Oh yeah, that's possible. I did. I was very
taken
by that. That's still probably my favorite episode we've watched for the podcast.
So this is a really good one. I got to think about it for a second. Okay, I feel like. Yeah, I feel like. I think I know what I want to give it.
All right,
should you go first?
You can go first. Yeah,
I think I'm gonna go as high as 7.
Nice.
I feel like this hits that sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think it's hard to really get to the heights of wackiness in Mystery Science Theater with something like this that's actually competently done. I feel like there's a difference between making a bad movie on purpose and making a bad movie because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And this is clearly a bad movie on purpose.
Yeah. It would be actually similar to if they just watched an episode of 60s Batman.
Exactly.
And you'd be like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, it's easy to make fun of, but it's actually kind of good. So.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, like every scene made sense with the scene before it, even if it wasn't really going anywhere.
Like I would watch this movie if I was bored without Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say like it's a cinematic masterpiece, but I would be entertained.
Well, and especially if you grew up in Mexico and you knew Santos. And
for sure.
This was a thing that you liked. I mean, I do like the old Batman and I definitely will watch it just for fun.
Oh yeah, totally.
Okay, so what do you...
Yeah, I think I agree. I think I'd probably agree with you right down the middle. I think it's a 7 for me. I think probably the highlight of it is for me the riffing and the performances and skits by Jonah. Like, I think if this had been early era Joel, it probably would have been more like a 5. Because I do think this movie is entertaining, but like I probably wouldn't go back to it. Except that there are some, like I want to watch the Smack a Light of Love sketch again. So I would watch the episode just for the sketches and some of the better jokes. Pulled me back to it.
There definitely was a moment, just like pretty much all the ones, even Jack Frost, where maybe an hour in, I was like, okay. I mean, because it's like. They're not very good movies, no matter what we may say about the craft. And so there's no joy in seeing what happens next. I mean, there's nothing's going to happen next. You know what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
It's very formulaic.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're really putting a lot of weight on the jokes from Jonah and the team.
Oh, for sure.
To make it interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like Santo was ever going to lose.
Right.
Or anything, or Dracula was going to win or something. Did they ever get the treasure, though? No. Now I'm like...
They never even showed what the treasure was.
Yeah, they just sort of blow up the top of that cave, and then all the wrestlers storm in, and then El Santo's like, that was my plan all along.
Yeah.
And then it just sort of ends.
Everyone just kind of belly laughs and fade to black. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess they just forgot about the treasure, which is funny because it's the name of the movie. It's the Treasure of Dracula.
I don't know, man. I wrote down a few other riffs. There's the one part where the kid's on screen for the first time, and one of them's like, good night, random child. Like, who is this person?
Yeah.
There was another one with the girl where she's walking down the cave. Again, you might have been out of the room, but she's just walking on dirt, but the Foley guy puts in these really loud footsteps, and Tom Servo is like, that's some loud dirt.
Yeah. I gotta give it up for their wrestling names too. If we can just mention, Crow is Alexander Slam Bell, and then I can't remember what Tom's was. It was like Creeper or something.
I don't know.
Man, it was good, but yeah, really good.
Yeah,
strong writing moments.
I'm gonna pick you up at the airport, brother. Take you back to my house.
You're sculpted like an Adonis. You're a beautiful man. Yeah, really good stuff.
I don't know. Yeah, this one's kind of tough to say too much about. I mean, it's just a solid kind of fun old time.
We are going to watch some movies that are much stronger and some that are much weaker than the ones we've watched. The ones that we watched, I think, are all fitting in the middle.
Yeah, well, I was a little disappointed that the randomizer gave us another season 13 episode. Not because they're bad, but because I feel like, much like the movie itself, this episode of Mystery Science Theater was made by people who are really good at the craft.
Yeah.
But I feel like that almost makes it less interesting to talk about. I mean, I'm in a weird way looking forward to some of the really trash early episodes. Just
oh, boy.
Because,
you're going to be eating those words.
Well, but, I mean, it won't be as fun to watch the movie, but it'll be fun to do the podcast because there'll be so much for us to talk about.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas this is just like, yeah, it's good, man. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're good. It's a good show. It's fun show. We like this show.
Yeah,
that's more of the show we like.
That's fair.
It, you know, or of course the really good ones when we get to the ones that are just like knocking it out of the park.
Yeah,
like the heights.
Some of those perfect tens. I've got a few perfect tens in my brain.
The one with the wormy guy who flies a plane into the future.
Time Chasers. Yeah, that's probably a 10.
Or the one with the guy with the laser gun on his arm.
Oh, Laser Blast.
Yeah.
Laser Blast is
a
good one.
Yeah, there's some real trash in there. But again, I feel like to get to those heights, you need somebody who's not making a bad movie on purpose, but is making a bad movie because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's probably true.
Okay, well, Santos and the Treasure of Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Final comments? Thoughts?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, pour one out for your homeboy, Santo.
Santo, yeah. Sorry, Dracula, you didn't win.
No.
Shocking.
Yeah. Okay, till next time.
Mm-hmm.
So my theory is that bees are actually getting the honey from somewhere else. They don't make it at all.
Watch out, it's Killer Bob!
Everybody was king, Foo Fight. I'm sorry I did that. I didn't mean to.
And a good evening to you, sir.